public hearing for the establishment of an annual operating budget for fiscal year 2008.
What we would like to do is...
Did you want me to conduct the hearing, Mr. Duke?
So, yes.
Okay. We'll start the public hearing with a presentation by Mr. Baker. After his presentation, we will provide an opportunity for public comment. And persons who wish to make public comment, please keep in mind that after you're recognized by show of hands, when you come to the speaker's stand, please state your name and give your address before you make your statement so that we will be able to preserve in the record who was making the statement and where they reside. Anyone have any questions concerning the procedure that will be followed before council acts on this? Also, this is not the only public hearing we will have this morning, and any motions or action taken by council will occur after all the public hearings have occurred. Any questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Baker.
Thank you. What we would like to do this morning is just overview and highlight the budget. On May 22nd, the council received a full presentation, but I know you all weren't here, so we thought we'd highlight some of the budget information this morning prior to the public hearing. And we have a PowerPoint which matches up with the these slides. And I'd first like to introduce our budget committee, which includes our finance director, Susan Webb, and Kathy Roth, our cost and budget manager, and Gina Jennings, our director of accounting. Let's see if I can get this to work. The proposed budget totals $142 million, and that includes general fund, sewer and water districts, capital projects, and it's up 1.4% from this year's budget of $140.1 million. The general fund is up only 1.4% also. The current budget is $57.1 million. Our capital improvement fund, which is non-sewer and water district capital improvements, is down from $19.7 million. It's down to $10.5 million. Community development fund is about the same level as this year. Sewer and water districts operations are up 3.4% to $33.1 million for operating and maintaining our individual sewer and water districts. And then capital projects, $39.2 million is primarily sewer and water capital projects and improvements to provide more sewer service. That is up $9.1 million. In total, we're up 1.4%. We do have, in the general fund, a rainy day fund, and our goal has been to try to keep that at about a 25% of budget level. And as of June 30, 2006, we had our last completed audit. We had $13.3 million in that fund for emergencies and unexpected needs, and that is 23% of the budget. The next chart reviews where the non-sewer and water district revenues come from, and our largest revenue is the realty transfer tax at 32%. We are recommending $22.4 million in realty transfer tax money in the next budget. This year's budget has $28.7 million, so it is down considerably. The next largest is property taxes, almost 17% of the budget, $11.8 million. That's up slightly from $11.2 million this year. Fees for services, again, almost 17%. This is also down, reflecting the change in the economy, $11.6 million versus $13.3 million this year. And appropriated surplus, almost 8% of the budget. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So that's down also $5.6 million from the $11.8 million level this year. Realty transfer tax decline, reflecting the change in the housing industry and the construction industry. This chart shows the realty transfer tax revenues that the county collects. The realty transfer tax is a 1.5% tax charged and collected by the recorder of deeds that is only charged in, that we collect in unincorporated areas. And if the property is within a town, then the town receives that 1.5%. The state also receives 1.5% on realty transfers. Our revenue, as you can see here, these are actual numbers. This is an estimate. Of course, the next year's budget's an estimate. But in 2005 and 2006, we collected $36 and $35 million in realty transfer tax. We are estimating $27.2 million this year. And again, we tried to conservatively estimate $22.4 million for the proposed budget. Housing industry revenues, potential cuts. Mr. Godwin noted earlier, there is some proposed legislation which would affect the county's portion of the realty transfer tax. And what that would mean is the county would have to, if there were major changes in realty transfer tax funding, then we would have to look at some of the projects that we have included in the budget as to whether or not we would be able to afford these projects or raise revenues in another manner to fund them. These are a list of different projects. These are some things we do, money that goes right back into Sussex County, and that I think that's a big plus for keeping that realty transfer tax money with the county government. But as you can see, library expansions, airport industrial projects, county sewer grants, which the state has not been able to afford any state grant money for sewer projects in the last budget, and I don't think they're recommending any in the governor's budget this year. A new administration building, which we need, we're crammed into this one now. State police, $1.6 million for 36 additional state police in the county over and above the state's allotment. Fire service funding, local law enforcement grants to the towns to help with their town local law enforcement, and of course open space and a number of other items are listed here. Okay, this chart shows housing industry revenues. This includes realty transfer tax, but also includes other revenues as that are listed here, like building permit fees, manufactured home placement tax, and fire service enhanced funding, and so on, that are down because of the change in the housing industry. In 2005 and 2006, there was over $50 million collected from these particular revenues. The current budget is $42 million, and the proposed budget is $33.5 million. Use of appropriated reserves. One of the things that we're proud of with this budget is that one thing we've been doing in the past is using appropriated reserves that reflect the amount of that general fund revenues exceed expenditures during the previous audited year. So, for instance, this year's budget includes $11.8 million of appropriated reserves, and this is a list of what they're funding, and that matches the amount of the fiscal 2005 audit for general fund revenues over expenditures. Well, the next audit, fiscal 2006, the total revenues over expenditures was $10.9 million. We are only recommending we use about half of that, 51% of that, in the upcoming budget. We're trying to reduce our reliance on that appropriated reserve revenue. With that, I'll turn it over to Mrs. Webb, and she will explain the expenditures.
As David showed you where the money comes from, this is where the money goes. This is non-water and sewer general fund and capital projects budget. even though we've saw a leveling off of the realty transfer tax and other real estate related revenue, we did not decrease any of our level of service in our general fund budget. You can see the big pieces of the pie here, the biggest department being the paramedic department, 19% of the budget, or $14 million. The second largest piece, the capital improvement fund, at 15%. This is the fund where we account for all the general fund projects that take over a year to complete, the large renovations, improvements, buildings. This is where we saw a reduction this year. We budgeted $19 million last year, and this year we're only proposing $10 million. And some of the major items in that budget this year is more money put aside for our future county administration building and some major airport improvements for a new runway. The second largest piece are our grants, which I'll detail more on the next slide. But our grant and aid is 12%, which is a little over $12 million. In our grant and aid programs, this is some of the ways we use our realty transfer tax money, not only capital, but our public safety grants that we give. You can see a little more than half of the pie is for public safety between fire companies and the police, the state and local grants we give for the police. Fire companies being the largest section of the grant and aid programs at $3.7 million this year. We're maintaining the same level of funding. They get grants, ambulance funding, fire service fees. Last year they saw a large increase, which helped them out with their BLS funding. This year we're maintaining the same level of services last year. The state police grant and the local law enforcement grant we're also including this year in the budget. $1.6 million for state police for additional coverage in the county and $25,000 to the town for the local law enforcement grants. Some of our other grant programs, the sewer grants at $2.6 million. These are grants that we give to start up sewer districts that help keep sewer affordable. A couple big ones in there this year is Angola for $500,000 and Johnson's Corner for $500,000. They're startup districts. They haven't had their referendum yet. We also have the 100 cap front foot assessment that is granted through the general fund to sewer that keeps the front foot assessment at 100 feet. The housing assistant grant, again, we have it in this year, $150,000. That's $100,000 to Bill Locates' community development program. This is for emergencies. The federal grant money that comes through the county through community development block grant typically has a 3-year waiting list. So we have money set aside in the general fund for those that need, have emergency housing needs. And $50,000 is divvied up among some moderately priced housing unit agencies, typical for affordable housing, like Interfaith, West Rehoboth Land Trust, and Habitat for Humanity. The open space, $1.3 million, and I'll discuss that later in the next slide. Dog control is new this year. It's mandated by the state that we pick up half of the contract with SPCA. So that's new to our budget. And just to highlight the open space program, this year we're proposing $1.3 million in the 08 budget. By ordinance, we're required to reserve 10% of our excess of revenues over expenditures, and that's a little over $1 million this year. We also have $300,000 in for the Delaware Preservation Program. So we are pleased to partner with the Sussex County Land Trust. You can see a list of the areas where we've purchased conservation easements and development rights. These add up to over 3,000 acres in the county that we've preserved. Kathy's next to talk about public safety.
Okay. I'm just going to highlight some of the public safety budget items for this upcoming year. Like Mrs. Webb said, the fire and the ambulance services are staying at the same level as they were in this coming year. Public safety is $23 million of this year's budget. This is up 10% of the current year budget. It's 40% of the general fund. The paramedic, like Ms. Webb said, is the largest unit. It's 19.8% of the general fund. It's a 12% increase over the current year budget, and it's $3.8 million. The revenue sharing for the local law enforcement, again, is the same level. One change in this year budget is that the budget committee proposed that part of the funding be allowed for operating expenditures. In the prior years, it was only allowed for capital. This is $25,000 that goes to each municipality for a total of $525,000. The state police subsidy at $1.6 million. Again, this is for four additional officers over and above the 32 that we all currently fund. And emergency preparedness, which is our EOC and our dispatchers, they're currently under construction for their new building, and they'll be moving in the building this fall. They're excited about that. It will house both the emergency preparedness staff as well as the local dispatchers and the state dispatchers. Jeanne Jennings now will go over some personnel highlights.
Okay, I'm going to briefly go over some personnel highlights. This year we are recommending a 3% cost of living adjustment effective July 1st. We're also recommending a defined pension contribution of 10% or $2.3 million. The next bullet on the slide is a new regulation imposed on government entities to set aside money for pension benefits. Sussex County is not required to do this until 2009. But because of this new regulation, our actuary is recommending a 20% contribution or $4.5 million. The next bullets are a list of employee benefits. We are seeing a 10% increase in health insurance costs compared to the national average of 13%. But with this, however, we are recommending no change in employee contributions or health benefits. One addition is last bullet. We are recommending employee assistance program. This program includes such training as supervisor training and stress management training. And I'd like to turn it back over to Mr. Baker.
One of the changes in the proposed budget is funding for local libraries. And there's we have 11 independent local libraries in the county, and the county provides the bulk of their funding. The manufactured home placement fee is divided between each of the 11 local libraries. And what we've seen with the change in the economy is a 40% reduction in that fee. So what we are suggesting and what we are recommending is that we offset that reduction in that revenue with an increase in property tax revenue for the local libraries. The total property tax remains the same at 44.5 cents. But right now, in the current budget, we allocate 4 1/3 cents towards local libraries. This would increase that to 4 2/3 cents, but recognizing the decrease in the manufactured home placement fee. The total funding for local libraries would remain at $1,957,000. Other housing programs. The county initiated a moderately priced housing program, and this provides a density bonus for developers who are eligible and apply for the program. And we are in the process of approval process for several projects regarding that. What it does require is a 15% moderately priced housing provision, so that 15% of the homes have to be mixed within the development that work within various guidelines, and the individuals who purchase them have to meet certain income levels, there's maximum income levels, and they have to be residents of Sussex County and working in Sussex County to be eligible. We also have an emergency housing repair assistance program through Mr. LaCates' office. We are budgeting $100,000 again to help, and this, he has, I think, a three plus year waiting list on his federally funded program, but occasionally there are problems that come up that are more immediate, and we use the county funding to help with those. First Aid Community Action requested funds. We were able to partially fund their request at $10,000, towards a community center in Cool Spring. The West Rehoboth Land Trust requested, I believe it was $25,000. We granted $5,000, or recommending $5,000 in this year's budget. They received $25,000 this year. Habitat for Humanity received zero this year, but we are recommending $25,000 for next year. One thing I will mention is that we did donate to Habitat this home, which we had to purchase as part of our airport expansion project, and they moved it, and now this family is living in the home. Interfaith Mission, we also are recommending $10,000 towards their housing programs. This totals up to $515,000, including $325,000 in county funds that we use to administer the CDBG program. And finally, budget highlights, and then we'll open it up for the public hearing. Again, no property tax increase. The average county tax bill still remains below $100 at $99.93. For a manufactured home, $39.62. If you add in if this single-family home is in the Indian River School District at the current tax rate, that would add another $600 to that bill. So the total bill would be about $700 for an average single-family home if it's in the Indian River School District. Each school district has a separate tax rate, so there are differences. Indian River is our largest district. The budget recognizes a decrease in anticipated realty transfer tax and housing revenues. We are working on updating, completing the land use plan update. A new EOC will be completed this year. Record storage program will be initiated, funding for 36 additional state police. We continue to fund the volunteer fire service with $1.5 million towards paid ambulance attendance. We upped that during the 07 year from $1 million to $1.5 million. Dog control, again, this is a state requirement that for us to fund. This is the first time. And then South Ocean View connections will begin to sewer this fall. $298 million five-year capital plan is included with many different projects, including sewer expansions, work library expansion projects, work at the industrial park and airport, and overall 1.4% budget increase. So with that, I'll turn it back to Mr. Griffin for the public hearing.
Is there any questions now that we can ask at this point?
Yes.
Or let's
face it, we'll do it at the end.
Huh?
I got something too. We'll do it at the end.
Well, they might want to hear out there.
Gentlemen have questions, why don't you go ahead and ask them of Mr. Baker?
I think it'd probably be better now, Lynn.
Mr. Cole.
Up to you guys.
Coach Cole?
No, the question was on the fire service this year. You know, yes. We've had some concerns about ambulance services down, I know, in Bethany and Millville and things of this nature. We have this cap. Is there any discussion of that cap that comes from the building permit?
The building permit fee,
right.
Yes.
What is that cap, and where is it? What level is it? Because we have the ability, my understanding, when we lay this thing out, that we could adjust it year to year. And with some of the problems that some of these fire companies are experiencing, I think I'd like to know what the cap is, and if there's a possibility or any consensus to lower that so that more money would go to the districts that are experiencing a lot of the growth.
The way that has worked is that we have $1,435,000 included in the budget, which is our estimate of how much we will collect for that building permit fee for the fire service.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is the Fire Resource Committee from the Volunteer Fire Service makes a recommendation to us, to the county each year, as to how to allocate those funds. And
right.
And they placed, as you mentioned, a cap, and then were the first, I think it's $975,000. We divide that up equally amongst the companies based on the services that they provide. You know, so
I know how it works. I didn't know it was $975. I remember a couple of years ago it was $800, and now it's up to $975.
It's up to $975.
We've actually increased it.
No, we didn't.
They
did. The firemen
do
it.
No, I know. They just make us a rep. We increased it. They didn't. They don't have the ability to increase it.
No.
We do, right?
No. We basically give them a block grant, and they, through their association.
It's our money. We've collected.
We don't tell them how to give it away. Just that the ambulance money is separate, and the fire money is given to the association, and they, or the fire department. So it has a cap on it, and they set the cap. What you might be thinking of is, when we created the original ordinance to collect the 0.25% on building permits,
mm-hmm.
it did allow for an increase up to 0.5% built in that, if it was ever wanted to be discussed at this body. Is that correct, Ms. Webb?
That the tax could increase.
Yes. It's built in. It's never been asked that we do that, but as far as changing the cap, that's done by the fire service themselves. They said
Okay.
I know
what you're trying to say, but my recollection, somebody, Dave, you tell me if I'm wrong, instead of Lynn, we collect the money, and we set the cap.
No.
They give us a recommendation on how to do it. Now, tell me if that's where I'm wrong, and that's tell me where I'm wrong.
I don't have that.
You're just telling me I'm wrong. I'm going to ask Dave. Tell me where I'm wrong in that little simplistic explanation of this.
There was an ordinance that the council passed regarding
right.
this, and I don't have that in front of me. So I you're, the way we've done this in the past.
Enough say, I don't know how we do it.
We've used the resource committees.
I know that.
We've gone with the
I'm
resource committee's recommendation. And I actually haven't, we have not received that recommendation for this coming year in terms of how much.
And my concern is, and we are all seeing it, we've all experienced it, we all are getting different rumbles. We've been basing a lot of what we give money in this county on an equal basis. All of them don't have equal needs. They're still receiving money. What I see is the cap has increased. What we should be doing is actually decreasing the cap so that these companies that are under financial pressure get more of the money of the permits that are occurring in their areas. So my concern to you gentlemen are, why don't we revisit that instead of increasing the equal allocation, lower it so that the companies,
because
like
that was
Millville,
a recommendation from the fire.
No, we wait.
That was a recommendation of the fire service, which is governing every fire company is represented in, and every district.
I'm not questioning that how that committee's set up. I'm saying we have the ability.
We have the ability, but we don't exercise that. We let them tell us.
Well, no, I'm just saying, do you have the guts to show some leadership then? That we look at this, revisit it, and say that there is a time, things have changed. That's all I'm asking.
Mr. Cole is suggesting, which I'm not totally opposed to, that the recommendation body of the fire service may not be providing a very equitable formula, and that there may be a need for this council to exercise its oversight of these funds to allow more of those dollars to go to the districts where the greatest growth is occurring.
Well, so that we could move on, I think we all...
It's just a question. Well, I just want to know if we could do that.
I think we all recognize that they do make a recommendation. In the past, that recommendation has been followed, but the county has the right to reallocate that, and that's something that the county could... If it chose to do so, consider doing it.
I just wondered if there
anything
with,
else.
With everything we know, is there any? Of course, these two are part of the fire districts. One's a president. One's, I don't know what your official duties are nowadays.
It's hose dragger.
Bob, hose dragger.
They're gonna abstain.
Is that what you said, Mr. Hose dragger.
That's correct. I'm lower management.
Definitely.
Could we move on, gentlemen?
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then.
I got comments about.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lynn. All right.
Okay, you said ask her questions now?
Yeah, I think.
Are you done?
Okay, moving on to another area of the budget, and this is something that I just didn't come up with this morning. I've been looking at this for months, and I discussed it with a couple of my colleagues last year. First of all, I'd like to compliment the budget committee for all that they do of making us look good with this budget. They do an excellent job. A great segment of the population of Sussex County is increasing, and what that is the organizations that support our senior citizens, specifically the cheer centers and the senior centers. The average senior has increased every year in the last 10 years, and as you all know, this is becoming a large senior citizen county. The seniors are living longer, putting more demands on all the organizations. 73% of the seniors that use the meals program are below poverty level. 87% of the seniors using the meal program live alone. Currently, one of every three Sussex counties, countyans age 55 or more, by the year 2020, 40% of all Sussex countyans will be senior citizens, statistics show. The state of Delaware has not increased funding to these agencies in over 5 years. We all know every day costs has increased in gasoline, the transportation. The chair in the senior centers offers meals, transportation, and medical appointments and companionship to all these people that move here. I'd like to make a suggestion for the budget if I could. I would like to see the human services grants go up to $156,000. They've not been moved in a number of years, and I spoke to the budget and finance director about this. This is a $46,000 increase, which would be used to increase cheer center funding from $1,000 to $5,000 and increase senior center. Or also, I'd like to, we had a body come before us during the introduction of the ordinance, and it's not in my district, but the Indian River Senior Center and the Lewis Senior Center each get $25,000 for capital improvements on their buildings to make major renovations of brick and mortar or a new building in some cases. And we've already put in the budget for Greenwood to get that. This would increase the budget of $25,000. And I'd like to ask for comments from our finance director, Ms. Webb, on this suggestion that I got, because we had spoke to it months ago and last week and before. So have you got some comments?
Before you do, Ms. Webb, let me make a comment, because I got to look out for my senior center also. Nanticoke Senior Center contacted me a few months ago asking about considered a grant in the budget, and I told them no, that we don't do that. We will not be doing that. You can ask for it, but I'm sure you're going to be told no. So they didn't submit a letter. I said, however, if you do want, I can give you money out of my capital community improvement fund. So I gave them $10,000 last year and $10,000 this year. So they have plans. They're building a new building. So what you do for them, I sure hope you'll consider doing the same thing for Nanticoke.
Well, that would be up to the budget. But that was my suggestion from the letters that we have on file. I know we have one from Greenwood early on last year.
What do you mean it'd be after the budget?
No, I know that we have letters in right now from Indian River. We had them from Lewis, and we had it from Greenwood. Is that not correct? I mean, I've been watching this for a while.
Well, I can get a letter between now and the time we vote today.
I mean, I didn't see a letter in there, so that's why I asked.
Dale, we don't necessarily have to vote today.
We can amend the budget at any time.
Yeah.
Is Dale's Nanticoke going to benefit from your suggestion?
If the budget director says that they would allow capital improvements, bricks and mortar for $25,000 limit.
Yeah, I don't think you should go for operations.
No, it couldn't be for operations. I'm just saying bricks and mortar, because there are some serious needs out there in these centers.
Well, Millsboro is trying to build it. They're busting
it. They're one of them.
Indian River, Millsboro is going to.
And they were in here spoke to us.
Right.
So.
Right.
But Ms. Webb, could you elaborate, please?
Well, like you said, we have an increase in human service grants funding. We'll start with that. That's the annual grant they get around November. Senior centers were getting three, cheer centers were getting one. It was a recommendation to go to five, so they'll get a little bit more. That can be used. They do submit a letter of what they intend to use the money for, operations, you know, whatever. So that can be used for what they want, not just capital. The capital grant, you know, there should be concerns. There's eight cheer centers, seven senior centers. You do $25,000. But like you read the statistics, Mr. Rogers, there it is an increasing population. They are not getting any immediate help from the state, or they haven't in the last 5 years due to DLDOT is what they're, you know, being told. The fact that the county can step up again like they do with the state police program and local law enforcement and help out is a good plan. It's just you've got to be prepared, I think, for the others, all the other, you know, we've got three in the budget right now with the recommendation for contingency transfer, which I'll recommend to cover these three. So you have to be prepared for the other that may follow. And again, the capital is how it should be spent. We can monitor that like we do the local law enforcement grant. They do have to submit reimbursements. I believe it's within 60 days of how the money's spent, so it's in accordance with the budget plan. And it just doesn't go to the operation, so we can monitor that it is being spent for their capital plan.
we could amend the budget to include the three new projects. And then, as Mrs. Webb stated, if you know, if one of the construction projects doesn't transpire for whatever reason, then we wouldn't reimburse that senior center for the money. Just reimburse them for the construction funds as they go. We could handle it that way if you like.
In other words, you're saying put the money in the budget, and then if they don't use it, it doesn't roll over year to year. It could be used, for instance, if a senior center doesn't have any plans to do anything, and you've allocated what is a suggestion, $25,000 to every cheer center?
No, we've got three in the budget right now.
We just got three this year.
You have one. Well, they were actually modifying the budget.
But with you firemen, you'd like to give the equal amount to everybody.
Well, what you're saying, they make their own decision to make that.
What we've done typically in the past is
trying to figure out
yours is in there and his philosophy.
Could we sort of move on a little bit?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Is everybody finished with their questions or statements?
Well, I was trying to get questions asked, not so much asking requests at this point. So maybe we ought to.
All right, let's move on and come back to it.
In addition to the comments that have been made by the councilman, I wanted to let the members of the public know that council has received letters from the following organizations asking that consideration be given to their funding needs. Those letters will be made part of the record. Anyone wants to see them, they can. Those letters are from the Sussex Conservation District, Cheer Center in town of Henlopen Acres, the Lewis Senior Center, the Indian River Senior Center, and the Rehoboth Art League. With that said, we will start to recognize public comment. Start with Mr. Kramer. He's up and got his hand up. And anyone else who wishes to speak, we will recognize you until you've all been given an opportunity. And we'll call for another show of hands after each speaker. Thank you.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road, 19950. How soon are we going to have secret police for you guys?
Have what?
Secret police for you guys.
We got them now.
I know you do. I see in the budget here, you're going to want to hire two deputies from the Sheriff's Department to be security guards in here. Now,
we sometimes need it with you around.
Yeah, right. It'd be a cold day to throw me out. It's like this here. What I want to know is, are we going to be like Dukes of Hazzards? Oh, boss hole. I'm Colter P. Gold Train. Dad, come and shot me in the foot. You want me to throw him out? Because guess what? You'll bring them in here with their pea shooters?
I saw your paper.
Guess what? Don't go there. And guess what? Because you can't prove whatever you're getting ready to say.
Yeah, but you don't have nervous on your name to your columns that you write in the newspaper.
Don't. They just won't let me write them. They throw my letters out the dang door. But
well,
anyhow,
stand up here at the microphone so we can hear what you're saying.
You can hear me. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't think you can't hear me, I can walk the back of that room and you can hear me. I don't need that microphone for you to hear me. I want to know, are they going to have police power?
No.
Well, then what good are they? What good is that gun coming in here and they're going to let on that they're Colter P. Gold Train and shoot somebody? Hey, who's vulnerable? You guys are vulnerable. Now, if you're so dead gum scared, why don't you put a bulletproof thing up here. Now, 2 weeks ago, there was no idiot in here from the Sheriff's Department, and it was just as calm. Nobody got blessed and hot. Nobody lost their cool, and nobody got hurt, did they?
No.
So, what do we need them for? Why are we paying them out of the wazoo to sit on their butts? If you're paying the state troopers $1 million, if you need security, why don't they come in here and sit on the butts? They're getting paid for it. And at least their guns.
What are you recommending we do? Are you recommending we put more money in the budget?
You don't need security guards. If you're going to give them security and you're going to give them, what good are they going to do? Are they going to have any power? Are they going to be capable of upholding the law? The answer, you just said no.
So you say there's $50,000 in the budget specifically designated for two security guards?
I don't know how much money it is, but look on page, I guess I better put my glasses on.
71, Dan.
Two part-time deputies. Deputies included in the budget, and it's not just for assisting with county meetings like the Board of Adjustment last night or council meetings, or they also, one of the deputies is will be bilingual, and also they
bilingual
have a lot more
what?
Activity. They have a lot more activity.
They don't understand you. Sometimes I can't understand you.
He's off the head and go, nah, the guns mean not to stay to do my answer. Now, interpret that, if you can. Huh? There might be somebody in this room might be able to do that, but I doubt it.
Anyway, Dave, go ahead.
There are two part-time guards, so we don't provide benefits like group hospital and whatnot that are recommended in the recommended budget. And two, they will also help with the additional activity. The sheriff's office is having more activity. I know you've seen
articles
about
let them have their
foreclosures
activity.
But
why are they here as a security guard? You already got a security guard there,
we've heard
he's got a uniform on, and they're going to carry their pea shooters.
Other county buildings in Delaware have full security.
I don't care what they got.
And because we can do it if we want to.
Maybe
we have the ability to do that.
Maybe it would be better to let Mr. Kramer complete his statement as opposed to a two-way conversation.
Hey, I love this two-conversation because I want some facts and figures.
But this is our opportunity to hear what you have to
say. If they are not going to be able to arrest somebody, what good are they?
Duly noted. Anything else?
Yeah. I want an answer.
Well, this is a public hearing. You can make whatever statement you want.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I could stand here and go through this budget page by page, and that would take about 5 hours, wouldn't it? Boy, I could easily do it.
Help yourself. I'm here all day.
Here all day.
All right. I bet you'd lose your cool before I got done with you.
Daniel.
By the way, before I do step away from this thing, is, hey, this budget, why don't you turn it into toilet paper? Because that's about what it's worth. Because it's just a projection. There's no guarantee you got that in that money whatsoever. None.
Somebody
it's nothing but a projection.
The meeting, please.
You don't have the first time out there to operate.
Right. Have a good day. Thank you. Yeah.
Mr. Brady.
Dan, apply for the job. He can get paid to be here.
Good morning, John Brady, 33117 Prairiedale Green, Lewis. I am the County Recorder of Deeds. And I had a fight in my office earlier this year, and I had no security to be able to respond to the fight between title searchers. And it wasn't a pretty fight, but I had to have my chief deputy go break it up. She has no powers except power of intimidation. I'd love to have a deputy available in case I do have a problem. In fact, I said that in my budget hearing because I have records downstairs that need to be protected, but I have a lot of traffic in this building. I have the most visitors, except during tax week, in this building on a regular basis. I thank you for the considerations in the budget this year. Please don't blame me for the loss in transfer tax funds. It's not like I'm telling people, don't bring your money here. I'm encouraging everybody to buy property in Sussex. It's the best value around. And in fact, I'm going to ask council to come back later this year with a proposed rewrite of my fee ordinance. My fees have not been revisited since 2002. Some of the other fees in the county row offices haven't been, and we're now cheaper than any other county in the state. And I think out of equity, which is I think what was that discussion earlier about equitable financing, that we need to have a consistent fee chart between the counties so people know with predictability what's cost. My biggest problem is people use the Newcastle County chart, and I have to send refunds. Refunds cost money. So with that, I thank you for the budget allocation for this year. I do see the need in my office for a part-time deputy to be available in the building when there are issues, and thank you for all the considerations.
Thank you.
My colleagues come up with me.
Sure.
Dawn Pachenik Holdridge, 213 Jackson Avenue, Wilmington, Delaware, 19808. Well, here we go. I'll be short. I'm here on behalf of the Moderately Placed Housing Units Working Group. We'd like to thank you, council members, for initiating the process to develop the program and your continued support. We have had a very exciting and busy year this year working through our implementation. We're making great progress, as we reported to you last week. And while we'd like to continue on the implementation of plans, the implementation stage is reaching the limit of what we can do as a volunteer staff. And the program will require sustained, stable administration and staff. Needs are both at initial sales, recruiting, education, certifying home buyers, coordinating closings. Long term, we'll need to monitor and enforce the resale and occupancy restrictions included in the ordinance. Administration is a key part to ensure that the program on the ground is successful. And we would encourage the council to fully fund the administration of the MPHU program. And I'll turn it over to my colleague.
My name is Van Temple. I live in Ardencroft, Delaware, Newcastle County. I was here a few days ago. We talked about the MPHU contract administration. I'm the executive director of the Diamond State Community Land Trust. I want to thank you once again for the operating grant for this year to help the Community Land Trust get off the ground. We've got projects going in each of the three counties. And as you know, we presented this contract proposal last week. One full-time staff person, based on our research from other MPHU Community Land Trust kinds of projects around the country, looks to be a baseline for getting this sort of program off the ground. So we've submitted that. It's an annual budget cost of a little over $105,000. We look forward to working with you on this program in the future, and a successful MPHU program and a good example for Kent and Newcastle counties, because you're ahead of the game there. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Gina Misrandino. I'm with the Delaware Housing Coalition, and I'm also the facilitator of the Sussex Housing Group. We're at P.O. Box 1633, Dover, Delaware. I'm here today to support the Diamond State CLT's request for collaboration with the county. I'd like to acknowledge Mr. LaCates and Mrs. Webb's and Mr. Godwin's participation on the working group. We think we have a very good team. Even Councilman Phillips, you were in on a couple of the first meetings of this. And we're really getting ready to be operational. We want to acknowledge the $40,000 that has been proposed in the budget, and thank you for that. And we do appreciate the county's budget constraints, and for the inclusion of this program. We'd like to consider this an investment in housing for all Sussex Countyans. As we discussed in some of the hearings in the past, this is one tool in the toolbox. It doesn't address all housing needs in the county, and we have some of our sister organizations here today representing some of the other needs, but we feel that it's going to be an indispensable part of the range of housing options. Our concern with the $40,000 as opposed to the full funding is that we won't be able to get started on time to fully prepare for the 500 units that are in the pipeline now. There's a lot of documentation and other kind of paperwork. As we all know, the devil is in the detail, and we really want to be ready to go in early spring 2008, rather than just starting to hire staff. So we're respectfully requesting that you revisit this project amount, and we appreciate your collaboration. Thank you.
Morning. Roxy Sturgis with the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust, Post Office Box 622, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I want to thank the council for your support, past support for the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. I want to thank you for putting us in the grant this year for the housing of $5,000. We are moving forth slowly, but we're moving forth. And as we speak, we're preparing a newsletter to come out hopefully in July that will give some more information on what we're doing. It's been a slow process. We're moving forward. We were hoping to be in construction early fall. But as it is with a lot of organizations out here, for nonprofits, money is drying up. And we still have the problem of identifying funds that will lower the cost for those that we're trying to serve at 80% and below the Sussex County area medium income. We have a financier to build our first startup project, the four townhomes. But we come to you today asking you to consider increasing the amount that you have put in the budget, suggested in the budget for us, for operations. And I'm not going to ask you for a specific amount. I know that, you know, there's a lot that you have before you, but I do ask you to consider increasing the present amount you have in the budget for us at $5,000. Thank you. Mabel, would you?
Mabel Granke. I live in Rehoboth Beach, and I serve on the Land Trust Board. And what I would like to add is that we are looking at West Rehoboth as a community that deserves to be revitalized. And for that reason, we not only look at this potential for the opportunity to build new, but we fully support and hope that the rehab aspect, and we note that there are at least three units listed under that, under Mr. LeCate's supervision, and that is exceedingly important, to be able to have the ability for renewal by new rehab. And then we're hoping, and we expect cooperation from our legislators with regard to continuing to upgrade the roads, and West Rehoboth desperately needs additional lighting in the community to make it safer. So whatever you can do to make this community whole is a long-term investment that will have very real returns to you, because you mentioned the need of seniors. We need people who can live in affordable housing, because we need to have balanced communities, and we need people who can help the seniors. Thank you. And I represent one.
You have questions of us before I sit down? Or?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ed Funk. I'm on the board of the Indian River Senior Center. I want to thank everyone is for at least acknowledging what the Wave put out last week, and Mr. Rogers, excuse me, I'm sorry. I was thrilled to hear what you had to say about the three senior centers that need that money desperately. And Mr. Cole, you too as well, for standing up for us last time when we were here for the budget. But what I like to know is why or how can we get in that piece of pie that the cheer centers get into and the dog catchers get into to help us seniors, which everybody wants to deny. You know, I've seen this for 3 years. I've been down here at this in Sussex County, which I love. I'm retired down here. But it also brought another subject up for the seniors that even Mrs. Brady didn't want to handle, and this was the manufacturing housing business and the corruption in there. I've took affidavits that they took and looked at, and they just dispersed them like they were nothing. And I talked to people every time they moved down here, and you would be, your hair would stand on end when you hear what these manufacturing housing do to these people, that they don't want to take on the responsibility. All they want to do is come down here and retire. I had a fellow that lived down the street. He was in a wheelchair. He had Love Homes come over, and he wanted to build his house right where it's at now. And the gentleman who was working for Love Homes was a salesman and asked him for $2,500, which he took off and left. I lost $4,000 on a two-way transaction between a banking, which he said was going to be a bridge loan for myself, and it turned out to be 15-year mortgage. In 2 weeks, I lost $4,000 plus the $15,000 over a course of all the paperwork we went through. The gentleman next to me, who...
I'm not sure the county has any jurisdiction.
Well, I don't know what course of action to take.
Well, I'm not sure it relates to your request for more funding.
Okay,
for
and I'm sorry that I went off on a tangent, but what I think I'm trying to let you all know, the seniors have it hard as it is down here. They don't need all the other problems that go along with moving down here and having that same problem. So I think I would like to see more money funded towards those seniors that are now coming down to the infrastructure that we have down here and supporting them a lot better than they are. Thank you.
My name is Matthew Duncan. I'm 23313 Arundel Court, Lewis. I've lived here for 18 years. I'm on the board of directors and the finance committee of the Indian River Senior Center in Millsboro. And I just wanted to thank you for your suggestion today. And I hope that you will consider us and give us the $25,000 grant. We do have the land already and hope to start construction of a new building very soon. Thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
And ladies.
Mr. Parrish, did you?
Good morning. I'm an elected clerk of the peace, George Parrish, and I reside in wonderful downtown Long Neck at 32464 Approachway, Long Neck, Delaware. The proposed 2008 budget for the Office of the Clerk of the Peace provides some opportunities to save tax dollars. Now, this county council was very judicious in approving that recommendation last year, but through some misstatements, misunderstandings, misquotes, and some bureaucratic keys involved, it was not implemented. So I'm coming back to the Sussex County Council and asking for them to reaffirm their good judgment they exercised last year and asking why New Castle County has fees that can displace and save tax dollars, why Kent County has it, and why Sussex County doesn't have it. One of the major reasons why Sussex County doesn't have fees for performing memorable marriage ceremonies throughout Sussex County is because my predecessors wanted to take any money that was associated with performing these services and consider them tips and put it in their pockets for their own personal gain. I prefer taking those same dollars, put it in the Sussex County Treasury, and save tax dollars. So if you all would do this, and we would have had this implemented earlier, and I'm publicly wanting to thank the county administrator, Dave Baker, because he's brokered and he's facilitated the expedition of this activity, and it would not have been moving without his personal intervention. So we're in a situation where we can save tax dollars, and one of the most flagrant examples is when we have somebody from Pennsylvania who obtains a marriage license and pays the cost in Wilmington, Delaware, and then they ask us to perform a memorable marriage ceremony on the beach. Sussex County taxpayers pay the total cost of that. We receive no reimbursement whatsoever, and I have to spend at least 2 to 3 hours, and my staff spends time. The Sussex County taxpayer should not be required to pay those costs. So I'm here to ask you to, again, reaffirm your good judgment you made last year and embrace this idea and have favorable reaction to saving Sussex County tax dollars.
Where is the ordinance? Is there an ordinance that he's talking
about?
There is.
Yes, there has been an ordinance drafted, and it is ready for introduction. So we didn't want to confuse the issue, so to speak, with the budget and whatnot, but we can put it on the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
For the council to consider.
So. No problem.
Thank you for bringing that attention to the county council and the public.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody will get a chance.
That's right.
Our little dance. Kevin Gilmore with Sussex County Habitat for Humanity. I reside 18031 Windward Drive in Lewis. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge and thank the council for your generous support over the years, not just financially, but also in kind, as well as in the guidance that you've helped us as we've gone through some growth to have more of an impact on affordable housing. There's currently 27 families in our county living in Habitat homes. As you saw, the house you donated last year has been moved, has been renovated, and has been sold at no profit to a needy family. Our subdivision, Concord Village near Seaford, now has two residents, its first two, and five homes under construction, which will be completed in the next few months. This will eventually house 19 families. We all know that the need for housing, affordable housing in particular, is tremendous in our area. Habitat's one solution. A lot of our friends are here today with other good solutions as well. So I want to thank you for having Habitat in the budget for this year. Every dollar truly does count. A little perspective from our experience this year. At our recent homeowner application session, we had 200 families show up. 200 out of the 1,000 families that called us last year seeking housing. We're going to build 8 houses next year. The need is tremendous. The money that you've set aside for Habitat will help in one way, and we really truly hope that you continue with this support in many different ways. Habitat works because people like you, because hundreds of volunteers and other donors come out, come together, and help build homes. We look forward to continue working together. With that said, I'd like to introduce my colleague and our president-elect of our board, Ralph Peters, to introduce himself and have a brief statement.
Thank you. As Kevin said, I'm Ralph Peters. I live at 30895 Creek Myrtle Drive in Gull Point in Millsboro. in addition to be president-elect of Habitat here, I'm also the sitting chair of Interfaith Community Housing Delaware up in Wilmington and have been there for the last couple of years as chair. We do appreciate the County Council's help. It matters a great deal. We studied the help that we've received in Interfaith from the Newcastle County Council, and it has been very substantial over the years, and presented the results to Chris Coons earlier this year. We found that the return to the county had been a multiplier of about 7 on the funds that had been granted to us. Return in taxes, return in economic activity, return in fees, return in lowered expenses in problem communities. It can be a very, very good investment for the county to promote affordable housing within Sussex County. We think that the return here can be every bit as good as it's been in Newcastle County. We're going to begin to accumulate some data. We thank the council for its help, and we look forward to your continued help. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Council, thank you. My name's Joe Meyer. I'm from NCAL Research, 363 Salisbury Road, Dover, Delaware. And I wanted to talk about the other housing programs page that you have in the budget. Absolutely all of the organizations that are listed there are very worthy and deserve funding. We collaborate with all of the organizations. We would like you to consider adding NCAL, National Council on Agricultural Life and Labor, to this list. We did submit a request in April, and we work closely with Bill LaCates. We're a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Our office is located one block from here. Chances are you've seen the sign 100 times at 110 South Bedford Street in Georgetown. And our board of directors and I want to thank you for your assistance back in 05 and 06, where you provided a grant to NCAL. What we do is homeownership counseling and education. And it's so important these days. Families come to us with a goal of reaching homeownership, achieving that American dream. And they work hard to reduce their debts and start to save and improve their credit rating. They track spending, they do budgeting, and they really take charge of their finances while learning about the complicated mortgage process. It is a pleasure to report actual results to you from our homeownership program for 2006. This is 1 year. We had, of course, several hundred new families and clients that come to us each year just in the Georgetown office. We had 72 new homebuyer closings, people who actually reached their homeownership goal after a lot of hard work. That's 72 in 2006 alone. These 72 homebuyers leveraged $11 million in attractive conventional and federal rural development mortgages into Sussex County. Most were under 80% of median, and the average mortgage for our 72 families was $169,000. So these families have been educated about home ownership responsibilities, the mortgage process, money management, how to avoid predatory lending. And we just don't hand a family a few sheets of paper. We have a complete curriculum with group and individual sessions following a customized work plan individually developed for each client. All of our counselors are certified, and NCAL is HUD certified. We secure resources for Sussex Countyans necessary to help make homeownership a reality. Financing from rural development, state bond program, conventional first-time home buyer programs, many of the banks have excellent programs, down payment and settlement help, gap financing, the Federal Home Loan Bank, live near your work, it goes on. And it's a patchwork quilt that we help to assemble with families to get to the point of home ownership. And frankly, this work really helps to anchor our neighborhoods and stabilize and preserve our communities, because the housing stock and the price that families are looking for, if they didn't go for owner-occupied, they would go for investor property. This year, we have an extra need. We're purchasing the office at 110 South Bedford Street, right next to the fire company. That's the easiest way to say it. The owner put it up for sale. We negotiated a real good price on it, and we have that special capital need this year. You assisted us last 2 years at $20,000 a year. I would respectfully like to ask you to please include us on that list. I'm not sure why we're not on there, but to please include us on there. And if there's any information we need to provide, we would be glad to do that. And I appreciate your consideration.
Anyone else?
Good morning. My name is Stephen Tolbert. I reside at 22575 Waterview Road in Lewis. And I am with Nehemiah Gateway Community Development Corporation. And we had sent a letter to the council requesting funding for this year to help us with Sussex County with a program that we run every tax year, the Delaware Earned Income Tax Credit Campaign. I didn't hear that as part of the listing of letters that were there. So I'm not exactly sure where that resides, but if you need some additional information about that, I do have it, and I know it was sent to, President Dukes. I'd like to just reiterate a couple of things. In Sussex County, our program for the tax, during a tax year, it's a free tax preparation service for low-income families. We don't return 7% to the county and to the state. We return about 5% of all of the refunds that we generate to our low-income families that gets back into county coffers, the state coffers, and so forth. We have been growing in Sussex County at our tax sites. We have five of them. And we grow at about 25% a year. We're a little bit over now 2,100 tax returns that we do during the tax season. So we're asking for some help in order to continue to grow our resources that we have available to do the program. So thank you very much, and I appreciate the county council's assistance.
Good morning. Mike Lowe, 32256 Hastings Drive, Laurel, Delaware, President of Sussex County Volunteer Firemen's Association. I'd be remiss this morning if I did not take a minute to thank Ms. Webb, Mr. Godwin, Mr. Baker for the support they've given the fire service this year through their time, through their advice. And as president, I sincerely appreciate everything that's been done by Sussex County Council. Mr. Baker, if I've had a question regarding legislation or a question about anything, less than a day, I've had a response. Never been any different. And we appreciate that. The demands, we all know them. There's no need to get into that. We're in the worst day of your life business. We take time away from our personal lives to provide a service, and you've heard from the seniors, the others in the county, to provide a service to them on what is most likely the worst day of their life. And again, we thank you, and we look forward to continue to serve you, and we're simply a phone call away if any of our officers can be any service or answer any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Anyone else? One more time. Anyone else have a comment regarding the proposed budget? Let the record show that we had 10 speakers and no one else has to be recognized.
Could I provide a list of grant requests that we have received versus what we've recommended? Just for your information.
The list of grant requests will be made part of the record of the public hearing.
What this shows is some of the organizations that, like NCAL, for instance, that spoke today, and given the change in the economy, and we tried to do our best, the best we could to allocate the funds. I would like to note that as far as the Diamond State CLT request for the MPHU program, what we felt is that we would look at options in terms of how to administer the program. The program is new for Sussex County, new for the state of Delaware. We weren't completely convinced that funding a full-time individual with Diamond State CLT was the best option for a long-term administration of the MPHU program. So we reduced the funding given that the projects that there are two projects that are in the works now that have not been approved. We realize that there is some upfront work that needs to be done, and we reduced the request from $105,000 which is the option to go straight with Diamond State CLT so they could hire a full-time employee, possibly set up an office in Sussex County and administer the program. Other options could be to contract it out to hire a Sussex County employee. And those were the types of things we wanted to look at. And we will bring a proposed ordinance for your consideration for the clerk of the peace. As seniors, we do have grants for cheer centers and whatnot, and we talked about earlier. We do have programs, tax assistance programs, to help seniors in Sussex County. I know there are other needs out there. The list of the amounts requested here on this schedule total $4.9 million, and the amount recommended is about $4 million. And so we're about $900,000 different. So we're about $900,000 short of funding what was requested, just for your information.
Can I ask a question now, Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Okay. Security, where was it? Revenue sharing for local law enforcement. The request that came in this year was Henlopen Acres, and they were not, they have not been a part of this program, and I'm wondering why they can't be included, because they are a town, they do have a police force. It's a taxpayer funded security, which is a police force. It's whatever you want to call it, Dale. That's their police force, is taxpayer funded. They privatizes all. I mean, it's the only difference is they're saving some costs and overhead and everything else, but I'm just saying they have to provide the same services anybody else, any other town has to provide when it comes to security. They've just done it through some pride, but I'm just saying why they can't be part of
divvying up of the funding because they are a town. They have a police force. And their request ought to be looked at like anybody else's. Is there any reason why not, Mr. Baker?
I don't think they meet the criteria.
Just give me a
good. Can they arrest anybody?
Our policy with that program, the local law enforcement grants, has been to, in the past, has been it would be for capital purposes for towns that have their own police forces, and that's been the policy.
Why does not a private security police force that's paid for through the tax base of the town, of the town council, like we do with our inspectors and some of these things, why does that not meet the definition? I don't think we've defined it that you have to have.
Can they arrest somebody? Can they arrest anybody?
No.
Or do they have to call Rehoboth to come get it or state police?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
They find that out.
They're in a corporate.
Why is that?
I mean, because I think that's part of what.
They
could get the same service from Rehoboth or state police probably. No. And not pay a dime, but they choose to do this private service, which I understand that's a
privilege. It's either that or hire their own police force, which would be probably more expensive.
They could do that.
They could do that.
But why are you penalizing a town who's decided to save costs this way? They have infrastructure costs just like anybody else. They got a building, they got a town hall.
Let's get moving, Mr. Cole. Make a motion if you want to make a motion.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to include the town of Henlopen and Acres as part of the revenue sharing for local law enforcement. I didn't know you all got. Who's making the policy? You individuals here up here at different policies based on what?
The program.
There's never been any discussion.
The program was presented to us by Mr. Stickles in previous years. That's
all right.
How I got
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, to include Henlopen and Acres in the
hogwash. Yeah.
Law enforcement.
I just want the town to
grants.
Know that.
Do I have a second? I need a second, gentlemen, if we're going to vote. Going once. Motion dies for lack of a second. Keep on going.
Interesting.
Anything further before we conclude this?